live from my spare room in Sacramento. This is Paintball Ruined My Life Live with Brad Johnson. Tonight, lots of paintball stats, roster changes, and more Tampa highlights.
I almost thought about, like, staying off camera for a really long time, but that, you know, probably wouldn't be the greatest start. So, hopefully everyone's well boosted. Sasha, good evening. And, I don't know, what are we talking about? Maybe I always say this, but you can probably tell by the title and the thumbnail. We have NXL roster changes involving CJ Cantor, New York Extreme. We're going to talk about Thomas Hara for a little bit here. Lots of paintball stats. You know, we really haven't talked about paintball stats all that much, so we're going to go over some stuff. We have some more highlights. I watched some more matches from Tampa, so we will watch those. And, yeah. As you can see, this live stream is sponsored by BFP Gear and Carbon Paintball. We'll talk about them a little bit more later, though, here. And, I don't know. I guess we'll just jump straight into something. First on the list, New York Extreme roster changes. New York Extreme have added three new players. Yeah, first in Fred Berkley. Fred Berkley hasn't played pro in a few years. Played for a very long time with the Trade My Gun Outlaws from 2015 to 2021. And Fred is back in the pro division. Fred, I have everyone's ages. Fred is 40 years old. Kind of a big guy. He's probably close to my size, so tall, but very athletic. So he's kind of like back mid-attack kind of guy. Going over, or joining, I should say, New York Extreme, because he wasn't anywhere. He can't go anywhere. You know, he wasn't on a team. So Fred Berkley going to New York Extreme. Trent Nita, look at their body, is the same size. Trent Nita, or Nita, maybe I should say, is somewhat newer. Certainly does not have the experience that Fred Berkley has. He spent time with the Ironmen, played 2 years with the Ironmen, 2020 to 2023. Then 2024, 2025, 2026, kinda play with Aftershock. He definitely was on the roster in Tampa with Aftershock, but I don't know. Someone said he got cut actually at the tournament, but I don't know what really happened. That's just a rumor. Also played with the U19 USA team. Trent Nita, though, is mighty younger, 23 years old. Then John Woodley. John Woodley's been, around pro paintball for a while, was part of the original Houston Heat roster in 2012. Played with Aftershock in 2015, so we played with Heat for a few years. Also played with X Factor and Damage. Most recently, though, with the ML Kings in 2023. John Woodley, also kind of a taller, aggressive dude. kind of having maybe the same similar game to Fred Berkley, although I think Fred Berkley maybe a little more back focused over John Woodley. This one's kind of surprising. We have CJ Cantor. This is a video. I don't know why. CJ Cantor going to the Ironman. CJ Cantor also, I don't have his age on here, unfortunately, has played with Aftermath, New York Extreme. I was going to say also with New York Extreme, AC Empire, which is kind of like AC Diesel's, AC Dallas's kind of Woods Bowl 10-man team. Most recently, though, played with Tampa Bay Damage. And going over the Ironman, you know, it would kind of make sense that he would want to join another team to get maybe more playtime on the field. You know, being on Damage, it's just extremely difficult to get any playing time. I mean, they have one of the best rosters in paintball. I mean, Keith Brown, Marcelo Margot, Alex Goldman, that's what I was looking for. Jason and Jacob Edwards, Chris Shear. So their roster is very stacked. So, you know, I could kind of see someone wanting to leave that team if you're not playing that much and try to get more action on another team. So CJ Cantor, very good player, going to play for the Los Angeles Ironmen. Those are all our like pro move things. And we kind of assumed this, but I didn't see this last week. It might have actually happened. I just kind of missed it. But the new latest and greatest paintball sensation, Thomas Hara, won a bunch of awards at the last Tampa tournament. He won the pro overall MVP. We can see there him holding it on his right hand. And then also the NXL finals MVP. You can see him holding that in his right hand there. So winning both of those is just really cool. His first pro tournament ever. I mean, you can't ask for anything better. You're the tournament MVP, the finals MVP, and you win the tournament. And we're going to talk about him more when the stats section of this comes up. And Alexei, oh God, I actually looked up how to pronounce his name and I've already forgotten. Alexei, fuck. I had it perfect earlier and I can't remember it. I don't know. He won Coach of the Year and he's been with the Russians for a very long time. Listening to some podcasts with Thomas Hara. It was on PTG and Spick and Span last week. There's links below. I would listen to those. They're very good. He gave much praise to Alexei, helping him become that finals MVP player. What are you guys talking about? Let's go see what you guys are talking about really fast. I'm with people hitting the like button. Yeah, give the live stream a like, and then we'll talk about more paintball stuff here. We got kind of a lot to talk about. Well, we'll see. We'll kind of see how it goes. Oh, you know what I just remembered? Oh, no, we'll do that later. We'll just do that right now. This live stream sponsored by BFPgear.com. I know I realized my like, I was like, ooh, my link's all screwed up. BFPgear.com. You know, BFP Gear literally have everything. And I was thinking earlier today, I'm like, if you're going to go, if you're looking to buy yourself paintball stuff, you know, maybe BFP gear, because I'm not on the right window. Am I on the right window? What's going on here? Why is my scroller not working? There we go. I don't know what's going on there. They've got all your new paintball stuff like the Carbon DRV. And look at that. You can put, I was waiting for that to come up. You can put your email address in right there and they will give you 10% off your first order. You know, you could buy a gun or something like that and get a pretty good deal. Put your email address in. But if you're buying stuff, you know they have free shipping. So think about like other stuff you need, right? Should you get some barrel swabs, need some barrel covers, O-rings, stuff like that. Take advantage of that free shipping. You know, stuff's got to be pretty easy to find. Like, what's over here in this more category? So here we go, maintenance. That's what I was thinking about. There's all kinds of this stuff. Grease. It's free. You might as well add it. Think about bfpgear.com. Next time you're buying paintball stuff. I thought if this was switched back to the other screen, it didn't. There we go. Okay, what else we got on this list? Man, I guess we could just jump right over to stats. Yeah, one thing we don't really talk about all that much are statistics on here. And I thought it'd be kind of interesting to look at just some of the pro stats. So this right here, what we're going to look at is, let's see if we can zoom in to make it easier to see. Every pro player, what's with that? I don't like that on the screen. Every pro player in PB leagues. So what they've done here is you can see events played. So like Fedorov, if we go to his paintball leagues, his PB leagues, account, it would have 80 pro tournaments played. And then right there, Mishka below that at 78. And then you can see Greenspan's 85. But this is kind of crazy. I was like, this cannot be right. So I actually went back and double checked. And from what I can tell, this is correct. So out of the 80 pro tournaments that Fedorov's played that are on PB leagues, he has won 26% of them. Like, that's, like, mind-blowing to me. It's like, really? I guess so. You know, he spent a lot of the time with Russian Legion, and the Russians were winning tournaments. went and played for Art Chaos. They won a bunch of tournaments, played for Houston Heat, and they won a bunch of tournaments. So I guess it's right. What puts him in the first place, though, is just all these accumulative points. I don't know how they're getting to this exact score, but obviously they're, like, you know, adding these up somehow and coming to, like, a overall score. Who's played the most tournaments, though? Ryan Greenspan, Yosh Rao, Alex Frazee. You get some of these guys who have been playing forever. This is kind of surprising to me, actually, that Marcelo is so high. Maybe not so high in the ranking, but I wouldn't have guessed he had played 79 tournaments. But again, you got to think, this is not all the tournaments. You know, the NPPL's not on here, and there's some Millennium stuff that's not on here as well that these guys would have played and won as well. And then we have more stats. The Paintball Stats on Instagram and Facebook also put out their 2025 top ranking. And I don't know, we'll just blast through these really fast. This is, I don't quite understand though. I tried to look up like how they came to these scores. You can see that every tournament is there, five tournaments, and they have a number underneath it. I don't really know what that means. I think that that's just how the team placed. No, that wouldn't make any sense. Maybe like points played or something like that. I don't know. We have lots of paintball fit guys. John Chavez in first. Jacob Seabaugh, the second ranked player in 2025. Scott Stewart, third place. Third ranked. Kirill in at 4. J-Rab at 5. Alexander Bridnikov at 6. Pavel Karzalev, 7. Trent Mason, 8. Konstantin Fedorov at number 9. And Fabrice Colombo at 10. So this is, you know, I would say mainly based on how well the teams played. And there's your 11. 11 through 20. Right there. More stat stuff. We're going stats heavy. We've got like two more we want to talk about here. This right here is the Tampa 2026 ranking on PB Leagues. We can see Thomas Hara up in first right there with 5 matches played. Yes, 5 matches played. 39 points played. Won 30 points. That's crazy. With a 79.92 win percentage. That is very, very high. So normally we're seeing this at like the end of the year come out to be like high 50s. High 50s win percentage, also very good. I don't know why. Oh, look at J-Rab even has a higher one. That's 77. But obviously there's going to be a ton of Russians in here just because they played so well throughout that tournament. Look at also Nick Laval somewhere in there. No, Zach Yakimek. That's 76%. If you guys want to individually look at any of this stuff, there are links in the description as well. And we also have paintball pick'em stats. All kinds of stats. This is 2026. These have multiple categories though, which I like a lot. That first one, obviously confirmed kill. Any kill that can confidently be attributed to a specific player or players. We have gunfight kills. Any kill where where two stationary players are shooting at each other and they don't trade. We have breakout kills. A player gets off the break. Movement kill. Any kill that is the result of a move. Examples, a player making a move and shoots a player who is unaware of their new position. A player shoots another player while running and gunning. A player bunkers another player and survives. Zone kills is a kill where the individual shoots a moving player. Okay. Pressure kills. A kill where a player or player shoots another player out of their spot that is not the result of a gunfight or movement. Examples include pinches or bounce shots. Oh, we do have trades on there. Obviously, we know what trades are. And there's also the unclassified area, which I don't quite understand. I think the unclassified area is going to be kills that are shared. So kills that are shared is if two or more players are shooting at an opponent simultaneously. In this instance, each player will be awarded half of a kill. Okay, that's why we're getting those like half kills, maybe right there. Okay. That's, I want this to scroll up a little bit. There we go. Damn it. It's not working like I want. So we can see Thomas Hara up in first. That's kind of what I wanted to say. And look at them in a goddamn picture. Look at all these kills, though. He's got so many movement kills. Where he's like bunkering guys out and doing crazy stuff. Easily. Look at that. 20. And then the next highest guy is Colt Roberts with 10. Gunfight kills. Leading the gunfight kill category. Zone coverage. Cyrus holding it down. With a good defense. Pressure kills. Chad George with 8.5. Trades. Yeah, I was going to say, he's probably going to be pretty high in that category, too. Just a bunch of stats. I don't know. I just wanted to point out a bunch of stats to people. Yeah, I mean, most of them are just kind of like, wins and losses. But these paintball pick'em ones where we can play a fantasy paintball. A little bit more detailed, although I don't entirely know how they're getting these kills. I noticed earlier, I was like, okay, CJ Cantor. We were going to talk about CJ. We talked about CJ Cantor earlier. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what his stats are. And I'm like, okay, maybe Tampa. It's possible they didn't, he didn't play a lot in Tampa. But he definitely played quite a bit last year. And still the same stats from last year, 0-0-0. And I know he shot people last year, confident. Oh, wait, maybe those aren't it. I saw him earlier. Oh, maybe we have to click there. There we go. Better off the top. So CJ. Okay, there's the kills. Never mind. Maybe I was looking at the old stuff last year. That's still not a lot. I definitely shot more than 20 guys. But look, he played a lot in Atlantic City and then not so much maybe at some other tournaments. I don't know. There's a bunch of stats. There, like I said, there's links below if you guys want to check out any cool statistical anomalies or whatever. Just lots of stats. Hello, Chris Martin. Chris Martin ordered a harness from BFP Gear last night. Excellent. Thoughts on Star Fox in the Mario Galaxy movie this week? I don't know anything about that at all. The only reason I know there's a Mario movie is because it's something weird. I was watching something odd. And can't remember what I was watching. I don't know. I used to play Star Fox all the time. I can even hear it in my mind. It would be like... Da-da-da. Damn it. What would it say all the time? Damn it. Good luck, or something weird like that. I don't know. Who knows while I'll be watching it. I'm shocked Fedorov is 9. For sure thought he'd be higher. I don't even know which we were looking at. Can't shake him. I don't remember Can't Shake Him, Star Fox. Was that the right voice, though? It was always Can't Shake Him, Star Fox. It was all smooth, and it was a lady talking. Who knows? What else do we got in here? I don't know. We'll do this, Greg Pauly, we saw earlier today that Greg Pauly had passed away. I do have what JT Paintball wrote on the Instagram. I'll read that. The paintball community has lost one of its own, one of the most influential figures in the Texas market. Greg Pauly was one of the players. He was a coach, a mentor, and a true builder of the game. But just as importantly, he was a driving force behind the growth of paintball as a dealer, field, and event level leader. Greg worked closely with shops and fields across Texas and the surrounding states, also pushing them to be better, stronger, and more successful. He treated the people behind him and those businesses like family. And his impact can still be seen in the communities and operations he helped shape. While many of him knew him for shaping teams like Vicious, Diesel, and AC Dallas, and for developing players from the divisional level to the national stage, with influence extending far beyond the field, his legacy lives through the players, partners, businesses, and communities he helped build. GP didn't play the game, he helped grow it. We extend our sincere condolences to his family, friends, and everyone affected by his passing. I did not know Greg Pauly. I did play against Greg Pauly and the teams that he helped coach throughout the years. He was obviously very influential and very helpful to paintball and more probably to the men that he was around, being a friend, mentor, and leader. We've read way too many of these lately. You know, there's been a lot of people, you know, passing away recently, so I don't know. Rest in peace, Greg Pauly. Now back to this. Yes. Greg Pauly. Okay. Well, we can. This is just crazy. Back to my normal tone. This, I don't quite understand. This is the World Airsoft Games, and I don't know when this actually happened. Let's do a little bit of research. March 24th to the 28th. So this already happened, but I just kind of want to show people how ridiculous this place is. Like, look at that. That is not Gaza. That is somewhere in Abu Dhabi. But more what's crazy is look at all the production they have. Look at this crazy media thing they've got. Like, I don't know what they're doing. This is like making like a full-on TV show. This is one of the like production areas they have. They have video assist replays. Like, this is another trailer. Like, I don't even know what's going on. It's like, how do they have the money for this? You know, I guess UAE just pays for it all. So they have all these indoor rooms they're going to play airsoft in. And like this crazy, you know, mock dystopian, you know, current Tehran, you know, surroundings. It's just crazy. But then even crazier is look at this. I'll let this kind of play. There's also a link if you guys want to watch this actual video. There's a link below to actually check it out. Look at how crazy this is. Speedsoft. We'll skip around. Look at that. Doesn't that look cool? Just crazy. Again, more cameras and equipment. It's just insane. This whole area. They got this crazy players lounge area. It's just nuts. This whole thing is just crazy to me. I just wanted to, like, you know, show people. It's just crazy how, like, you know, the United Arab Emirates is essentially paying for, like, everything for them to do all that stuff. Crazy. All right, let's do this one. This live stream also sponsored by Carbon Paintball, the maker of the... Ooh, can I put this on? I was going to put it on, but why can't I put it on? Of course I can put it on. The Carbon Zero. Oh, but the chin strap's like in my mask, in my face. Ooh, let's put a chin strap on. I don't really wear a chin strap. It's really tight. I'm not a chin, like, pulling the mask down on my face. The Carbon Zero. You know, Carbon don't only make this jamming paintball mask. They make a lot of other stuff. You know, you can get, you can see how I can speak really clear. The brand new Carbon DRV in 250 size. You know, you can also get it in a 200. It doesn't have to be the large high cap. I can't really see so well in this because it's so tinted. What am I looking for? Protective pads. You know, I was in Tampa talking to the guys at the booth, and they said, unquestionably at the tournament, the most popular things they sell are protective tops and protective bottoms. The SC, these just came out, the SC top bottom 3.0, I almost called those elbow pads. You can get them all at Carbon. I really like these freaking gloves too. I tried them on. My problem is I have monster hands. Like, I have hands that are like freak size hands, and stuff doesn't fit me right, so I gotta get like 4X gloves. It's kind of a problem. But you can get them at Carbon Paintball, C-R-B-N, paintball.com. You can get like your custom jerseys for your team at Carbon. Ooh, Airsoft, you know, it's just paintball stuff. I noticed they had Airsoft on there. I don't even really pay attention when things say Airsoft. I like glance over it. Carbon Paintball, the makers of the best mask on the planet. The Carbon Zero Pro. This is the more coverage version, so it's like a tinsy bit longer. You can see it covers my like jaw and my ears maybe a little bit better than the regular version. Carbon Zero Pro. I'll take this off now. I don't really want to wear it the whole entire freaking time. Carbon are awesome. I really appreciate Carbon's like support for the channel and just being cool dudes too. That's got a lot to do with it. You know, I don't want to deal with no idiots. Well, that's okay if you're an idiot. You got to be cool. What was your video? The Tampa live stream was talking about paintball fit. Oh, yeah, that's a video that I made specifically for Major League Paintball. I was going to go see. Let's see if we can find it on their website. But there's a link below to take you straight over to mlpbplus.com. Although I don't think I'm signed in, so we can't actually, like, sneak peek it. Somewhere it's on here. Let's see if we can just scroll through these. There it is right there. That is right there. They were kicked out of pro paintball, then they won it all. So it's kind of the story of paintball fit and how they got asked to play pro paintball in I think it was 2021 for AC Dallas. Then they got last in the division and then came back 2 years later and then won World Cup, which is kind of crazy. I don't think we've ever seen anything like that. So one of the most miraculous pro paintball comebacks. Dave Quitman, that's how you say his name, right? Makes speed soft videos, and I think he made some of these speed soft ones. I don't know. Okay, let's watch. We got a handful of highlights. Like I said, I normally watch all these games, and I did not watch every single match of this tournament, but I did watch a handful more, so we got a couple more highlights we can kind of talk about. We have, I think, 12 or something, 9, 10, but I got to get my notes so I can see what we're talking about here. Okay, first highlight, Impact playing the Tauntauns, LJ Parrish with a nice bunker move.
Checking it off over there. Here comes the move on the inside. Axel Godin. Connor can see it. Making a call.
Connor screaming bloody murder. Yells Cobra. And there goes the inside run.
So this is in that stadium. Just look at how good the stadium looks. I really like the stadium. Going back and watching these games in the stadium, it's really cool. Like, it looks really good. Like, look at this. Like, it's so cool to see the background and, like, all the players back there. All the people watching. That's that whole entire move right there. But you can see all that paint on that bunker from somebody trying to shoot a bounce shot. And I just think it's kind of funny how covered in paint he gets. Impact, I believe. Yes, Impact definitely do end up winning this point. We'll just fast forward because I just want to see. I just want to show you guys how paint covered he is. He's funny.
Great comms from Connor Kelly, let Parrish know where he was, and a great backup from Rainey.
Covered in paint. And now Impact is absolutely covered. You know, there's been a handful of times when I was like that. I remember the X back in the day, and like going underneath the X, sometimes you'd get covered in paint like that. LJ with an excellent move up the field. Covered in paint. He played really well for Impact. Did a great job tournament. Number two is going to be Damage. And my notes stay... Oh, this is just fantastic. Again, with my... Like, look at that. I know, guys, there's not a lot of people in the stands, okay? It's not the NFL. Look at that. Props to whoever's out there running with the Osmo camera.
Getting a little bit better at...
This looks like we're watching Monday Night Football, Maddie. I got to tell you right there. Look at Chris Shear running on the field in Raymond James Stadium with the crowd and the Jumbotron in the background. That is a beautiful sight.
So cool, dude.
How excited I am to be
here. Still got two more sets to go.
It just looks so good.
See Tampa Bay.
I just really like it.
Committed there. Actually got shot to the ground by Jacob Edwards. So.
Look at that. How crazy. What a crazy, crazy thing to get to do, to play paintball there. Just really cool. Number three, Damage in Red Legion again. We have, Brad, me, on the webcast. I'm in the webcast here. Let's see if you guys can find me. I'll pause it right when I'm on. Right when you can clearly see me on screen, I'll pause it right there. Where am I at? Where am I at? Oh, I'm trying to get the Telestrator out so I can show you guys, but for some reason... Yeah, okay, it's just totally not working. Let's... What the hell? What is going on? I don't know what's happening there. It wasn't working. Okay, I am on screen. I am on the screen. See if anyone can guess. Someone's already guessed, goddammit. Old soul, son of a bitch. Okay, I'm right there. You can kind of see it. I mean, you're going to have to be on a big screen. If you're like watching on a computer, like a phone or something, you're not going to be able to tell. But there's just a little bit of discoloration. You can kind of see it right there. That's where I'm at. It's kind of cool. No one else is there. I just thought it was funny. I was like, oh, I can see myself. Right there. On the webcast. I made the webcast. Okay.
Come back.
Right up there in the corner.
We're gonna start down by three. Damage.
Okay. Four. We have Damage and Red Legion again. This is Marcelo, thumbs up in the buzzer run. This is the very last point of the Damage Red Legion game that was exceptional under the lights.
I was going to go look and see what happened.
Marcelo Morgat, fresh off his Defensive Player of the Year award just about an hour ago at the Summit Awards.
You know what else I noticed? Like, I've noticed this at NFL games too, is that I feel like sometimes the lighting is not bright enough, right? Or the cameras aren't bright enough or something. I've literally thought that the last few years of NFL games. And I don't know what it is, but see how like it's a little bit darker here and then you switch to that? That's what it looks like. When you're there in person, like underneath these lights, that's what it looks like. So if you're on the field, it is lit that well. It's not dark or anything. So even from the stands, it doesn't look that bright on the field. But once you get on the field and you're underneath that light, it is way brighter than it like appears. So this is really probably as close as you can get to like what it really kind of looks like on the field.
Boy, former...
This is a funny example of them just using the Jumbotron
overall
as well.
Player of the Year award winner. This is a battle of legends out here to decide this one. Two legends out.
Look at the ref. Boy, look at the ref army crawling in the background.
Player of the Year award winner. Battle of legends out here to decide this one. 2:09 to go. 1 point separates.
Trying to get out of the way.
Whoever wins this one-on-one.
So
be a giant hero for the squad. For Marcelo, if he can get this win here, Todd. He's going to keep his team in this match, but he has to engage. Malloy has the big advantage. All he needs to do is just burn time off this clock.
Either one of these guys could be considered the best player in the world for a decade out here winning situations like this for their respective teams.
I saw one of these damaged guys, maybe it even was Marcelo, walking with a gold gun like that. And someone was like, is that real? They like thought it was like a toy or a replica or something. I think the gold threw him off.
What's going to happen here? Malloy making that move to the big brick.
See, this is when it gets kind of lame, though, because Brydnikov just starts staring at the screen to find him.
Down right now, both players repositioning.
And then Brydnikov should be able to tell where he's at.
Nonchalantly popping the top, head exposed over the brick. Blocked out. Oh, the crowd.
I like that. That's cool, right? I think that's fun.
Just, very nonchalantly popping the top, head exposed over the brick. Blocked out. Oh, the crowd going wild here.
Everybody like
see,
yelled and cheered when he Malloy saw him looking at the Jumbotron.
Completely blocked out from that position because that can, you can see there dead center of your screen, it blocks out Morgat. So then now Morgat's going to reposition. He's going to do a little move back into the back corner bunker. Malloy is going to dip back to the snake. All he has to do is really protect his buzzer here.
This whole thing's got to be weird for them, you know, because it's like... It's not even a one-on-one, really, you know, because they're both looking at the Jumbotron. Because there are two Jumbotrons. There's one, like, you know, right above the stands that we're looking at. There's the huge one right above. And then on the opposite end zone, there's also the exact same huge Jumbotron.
Both players using that Jumbotron out here. Marcel looking to push down that Dorito side, coming into Dorito 4. Malloy heads up over the snake. 50 seconds on the clock.
Yeah, so Malloy looking at one version of, and on one side of the stadium, Marcelo's got to look a little farther away.
It is true.
Pass continues. Malloy onto Damage's side. Marcelo going to be loading one of his last pods. Actually, just checked. I don't think he has any more paint. Malloy also out of paint right now. It's getting down to it. Just 20 seconds left.
See, Brydnikov can look at the screen really easy right now. Just stare right at the huge thing.
Marcelo has to force the issue, and Malloy knows it, but Malloy is a little bit closer.
I really like this, too.
Malloy's going to do a little retreat to get an eye on the buzzer as Marcelo Morgat has no choice but to recklessly run towards that buzzer. Guns up. To try to get the shot here on Malloy on the run. And Marcelo Morgat's going to fully commit. Did he get there in time?
So good, dude.
And it looks like I don't think he got it as time.
You know,
with 8 seconds left on the clock. Marcelo Morgat
so close, though.
Effort out there.
That's such a good like
thumbs
one-on-one.
Up from the referee. So I think Legion going to
this match was really good. I mean, if you guys want to like watch a good match, there's... I mean, easily this was probably the best match that was played in the stadium, for sure.
Marcelo Morgat's leg as he dives in.
So it was really
Alexander
good.
Brydnikov.
Okay, number six, because we skipped number five. This is a Ryan Hoskinson. It says three pack.
Here we go. This one full of action, 3-3.
So Hosky over on the right-hand side. You can see him right there running to that snake corner.
On the
stop, shoots for
everybody
a second,
has, nope,
and he's like, I'll keep
shock.
Going.
Might be getting a penalty.
Might as well keep
he
going.
Is. Jesse Stevens getting a penalty. We'll just keep going. Jared Lackey pulled.
Rap, shoot the can, shoot the can, shoot the can.
Ripping people apart right now. Here he comes on the push. Hosky.
Going to get one, going to get two. Might be getting that three pack.
Bang.
And trades out with the third body. So even
just cool running all the way around. I really like that. That's like some old school, like X-ball, old school tournament stuff. Like running around the back corner into the snake. Great move. Ryan Hoskinson, Chicago Aftershock. Number 7, the Jungle Cats and the Sea Dogs. We have Ronnie Tyner, I believe, from the Sea Dogs. Going to make a crazy snake move. This is the very first point the Jungle Cats have played pro. This is the second point of Friday. That's why those bunkers and everything look so good.
Jungle Cats. And it's going to be their very first pro
point. Ooh, that's even a cooler make it to the snake, right? Stay low and crawl.
And it's going to be their very first pro point against the Sea Dogs, team from Canada. A couple new pickups for the Sea Dogs this year. With
all the way, baby.
Like seeing Baldwin on that squad.
Yep.
And bang, first kill dice up back centered.
By the
clap
Sea
the
Dogs.
Wing
they
up.
Lose one. Now they lose another one.
No,
out
no.
The back center.
Clap the wedge
down.
Up.
Make that three.
Smack up the
down.
Wing. I guess I stopped that one kind of early, didn't I?
And the Atlanta
lose another one out of the back center. That's two
shooting at
down.
Least three guys. Your very first point in pro, as a team at least for sure. Excellent move. Number 8, Uprising in the Ironman. We have Caleb Abel making a snake move.
You know, get some momentum and be better.
Again, another crazy just run around the corner.
Be better. Caleb Abel to the snake corner and then running
dang,
and gunning to
that's
the 50.
Cool. I like that so
here
much.
Here we go. On to Uprising side of the field. Can he make it pay dividends? Do they even know he's there? He might get one right in the foot. He does.
Yeah, he's going to get that kill on the mini wall. Possibly going to be shooting out the back center.
Yep, gets the back center.
Oh, a little three pack here. This is going on the list. Caleb Abel.
Trades
and
with the
Caleb
back corner.
Run in and finally
just a bunch of crazy snake stuff. And these might be some of the moves that we become a little bit more... might become a little bit more... normal or whatever. Mainly because those rule changes, you know. Now, where instead of going for margin, a lot of these teams are going to just try to score as many points as absolutely possible to try and secure their better placing in the quarter or semifinals. Number 9, Rodriguez from Seattle Uprising with another crazy snake move.
Right around 4 minutes left here on the clock. Uprising on the blue side.
I like this one. I like that route. I like that going up to that big brick, which some people locally to me are calling God. And then I think going into the snake is cool.
Right around 4 minutes left here on the clock. Uprising on the blue side. They double up the back center, and they're going to be shooting a body here on the D side of the field. So Aftershock dropping one early. That is Jesse Stevens taking the walk, and here comes a very quick attack.
Oh, I'm confused.
On the side.
There's Rodriguez with that good
lead and
move.
React from Chicago Aftershock.
Shoots that guy coming to get him, too, which is really cool.
The walk, and here comes a very quick attack on the snake side. Read and react from Chicago Aftershock.
Shoots three guys at least.
Here is Uprising is still alive.
Four guys. Oh yeah, that's right. I remember now. I like this part. I like him.
Here is Uprising is still alive.
Whoever that is in that wide open. That might be Hoskinson too.
Uprising still with bodies, but
great move countering that aggressive snake play. And then we have some weird stuff. There's two weird things that happen. We have the Tauntauns and Impact. And my note says, Axel shoots LJ. Oh, this was another one of those, I'm going to stream sniping, where we have LJ right there, right above my head, and Axel Godin is in the brick that I just called the God, that like big brick right there to the left.
Yeah, we saw that inside move that LJ made.
There's Fabrice, I believe, trying to fix something.
2 points ago, and, you know, it's definitely open right now. If he decides to make it again, he's going to try and wrap the 50 over here and get a kill. Right now, come across the field.
But Axel switches his...
So this is Axel right here looking inside. You can see him looking inside right there.
Open right now.
Right at that that brick.
He decides to make it again.
But he's also watching the big, huge Jumbotron, because the Jumbotron, from Axel's position... Oh, man, I don't have... My freaking telestrator thing is weird. All he's got to do is just right over here. So all he's got to do is, like, look over here, and then you can see that Jumbotron. So he's just going to wait.
If he decides to make it again, he's going to try and wrap the 50 over here and get a kill right now.
He just sees him moving, and he's like...
But Axel switches his gun at the exact perfect moment.
And field. And
but Axel switches his
perfect.
Gun at the exact
I mean,
perfect moment.
That's one of the reasons that, Jumbotron.
At our, you know, kind of the cheater vision up there. The
number 12. Oh, yeah, this is Cyrus Gehringer right there moving the bunker.
Does he want a gunfight with Gehringer?
Gehringer almost got the drop in on him, but nice tuck in.
It sounded like they shot each other's balls in the air there.
It's definitely possible. Gehringer is losing his bunker, though. And then here.
I just heard something funny. Hold on. I want to turn the gain. I'm going to like add an effect to this and make the gain higher so we can actually hear better. So, so soon as the bunker moves, I think Todd goes, "Doo."
Definitely possible. Gehringer is losing his bunker though. And then here comes Jonah. Jonah's going to run him down. Does he get him clean? It looks like a clean trade. Oh. Gehringer, how did he miss him?
Oh my god,
Jonah Rodriguez just completely missed him. No, he's going to be pulling Cyrus out, though.
He should have been pulled for manipulating the bunker.
He's right. And he probably was. I believe he was. You know what I noticed, though?
Over here.
Watching more games, this wasn't the only time the bunker has kind of got a little weird on the field inside. And I think it's because they use different stakes. I don't think that they use the same exact stakes that they always use. Maybe there was some sort of, you know, reason behind that or whatever. But I don't think that they staked the bunkers down the exact same way that they typically do. I noticed that happened maybe a few times. Nothing maybe as, like, you know, crazy as what's happened to Cyrus here, but I don't think it's his fault. I don't think he's necessarily pushing in harder than that. Like, look, he like barely nudges it when it comes off, and then he's like, oh shit, and he has to, like, you know, creep forward with it. So I don't think that's his fault, and I kind of think that's why the refs didn't want to pull him out right here. I think that this ref was like, I don't know, he didn't really do it on purpose, but, you know, the head ref comes over and it really is the rules, you know, so you're gonna kind of call people on the rules. So I think just a little bit unfortunate for Cyrus there, but I don't think, like, you know, I don't think he's trying to, like, cheat or anything. It's just how it goes sometimes. Those are our highlights. Just a handful. Only a handful. I don't think he did it on purpose. It didn't look like it to me. I don't think he did. Because no one's doing that, really. You know, you can't really, like, I don't know. I don't know. But I think it did happen a handful of other times as well. Oh, give the live stream a like. If you're here right now, you know, show some love to the Paintball Ruined My Life live stream. And, you know, ooh, we don't need tail scale on. You know, give the live stream a little bit of a like. Okay, let's do a poll. We're going to do a poll. We're going to go... start a poll. He do it on purpose? Yes or no? Did he do it on purpose? Give me some feedback here. We need some yeses or nos. We got a 50%. Oh, 60%. Why can't I actually see the poll? Oh, there we go. 50-50. Can we see it in the... Yeah, it's a little weird in the chat on screen too, huh? Damn, I guess we can't do that. Never mind. Fine. Okay, we got a 42-58. We need 400 votes for it to be official, so keep voting. Old soul, what are you saying? It messes up all our lanes you've been practicing. But if you're tucking in and the bunker moves, you got to follow it. Oops, Mike, things are blocking that. Purposely, I think that's your whole comment. Purposely followed it. That's how I think. I don't think he like did it on purpose, but he definitely kept kind of nudging it because it kind of, I don't know. It's just kind of weird, you know? It's that weird situation where you're like, he definitely touched it and moved forward, but the bunkers are also supposed to be staked down, you know? You shouldn't, like, you know, barely tap it and the thing, like, roll away, so there's got to be, like, some sort of lenience, but it is the rules, you know? 50-50. Okay. Well, maybe we'll never know the true answer. We probably won't ever know the true answer. I don't really want to investigate, so... let's see if I can show this really fast. Let's see what we're doing here. I don't know if I can, this will show on screen right now. Oh, it will, it will. So, you know, if you listen to podcasts, if you're listening to this thing, maybe you don't want to necessarily check it out here. You know, maybe you'd rather listen to an audio version of this. There is definitely an audio version. The Paintball Ruined My Life Live. I don't know. It's a podcast, technically. It's on Apple Music or Apple Podcasts and, you know, wherever you can find stuff. It's on Spotify. Stuff, maybe go there and leave like a 5-star review. I don't know if anyone's reviewed this. There's been 10 episodes, you know. Not really, but lots of stuff on here. So every time I, you know, do a live stream the next day, so Tuesday, I will upload the audio version. So if you're curious, just, you know, search Paintball Ruin My Life in podcast stuff and it'll for sure come up. That's all. So if you don't want to, you know, listen to the live stream. Obviously, the live stream is probably a little better because it's, you know, I'm showing stuff on screen. He definitely knew it was loose. That's why he kept bumping forward to change his position because he was getting blasted. For sure. Although I don't know, I don't feel like the initial dislodge was necessarily on purpose. He's just trying to scoot into the bunker, you know, and we all do that. It's just like if I'm playing anything, I'm going to lean into the hyperball tube to get a little smaller and stuff. But definitely, like, he definitely kept moving it forward. I don't know, though. I'd do the same thing. I would have done the literally exact same thing he did, so. For sure. Hey, Chris Martin says, a guy from Enemy of the State got arrested for weed possession at Tampa. Well, that's why I didn't bring weed. Although I would have, like, I wouldn't have got arrested. I could have played it off. anyway. Yep, that's why I didn't do that. And I also wouldn't have, you know, brought, like, a bunch of pre-rolls and, like, you know, gotten all smelly everywhere. That's no good. Man. Give me some more votes. You guys are, if you're in the chat, if you're in the watching the live stream right now, give me a vote on the poll. And then we'll talk about some more of this stuff I have on here. I want to get more votes. There's only 18 people voted. You know, when I'm watching live streams, like really the only live stream I watch, Spick and Span, I'm watching it on my TV in the living room. So I don't really interact with chat either, just because I'm not really in the position to. You know, I guess I could pull my phone up, but... Oh, that's true. What was the question? That's fair. The question... Did this gentleman move this bunker on purpose, or did it kind of like accidentally get dislodged? You know, did he do it right there on purpose? I don't think so. He definitely kind of did it on, I don't even know if on purpose, because we're so used to like leaning into the bunker that it's like hard to say, you know? I'm so used to leaning into it too. If someone comes to run by and I'm going to lean into it, and it's kind of, you know, it'd probably just, you know, roll away a little bit. I don't know. Bloody Brit. There we go. That's a good name. I like that. Thank you, channel member, as well. Speaking of which, on Thursday, there is the channel members live stream. So Thursday at 4 p.m. for any of you channel members, there's going to be an exclusive channel members only live stream. Bloody Brit, you can show up if you want. I don't know what time it is where you're at. Probably a crazy time, judging by your name. That's a very good comment. I'll actually read your comment out. I don't think he broke a rule on purpose. That's probably true, for sure. I'd go with that, because he, you know, broke the rule technically. But, you know, it's not like he was, like, trying to do it. We still have 50-50, though. We still have a 50-50 for yes or no. A whole 24 people voting. I guess I could talk about Tampa a little bit more, because I have some other thoughts I've thought about Tampa. Okay, we're ending it. We have no clear definitive answer. We have a 50-50 split down the middle. Okay. We'll never know. So I'm going to, I don't know. I just have a couple notes that I didn't really intend on talking about this. So I don't, where are my photos though? We'll just let my photos play through. These are just random photos from the tournament, and we will put them on random playback as well, so they won't play in order. This is just a random order they're going to go in. And yeah, watching more of the tournament and kind of just being a little removed from it a little bit more, I have some things I want to talk about. In no particular order, I have prelim games just suck. There's no stakes in the stadium. So one of the things that, like, I'm going to move my head back over here. One of the things that, you know, I thought about watching these, you know, matches in the stadium is that it was really, really cool. Like, it looked really cool. It sounded good. The weather was literally perfect. I mean, you couldn't ask for better weather. It was like when the game started, it was probably 70 degrees and 48% humidity or something. It was literally perfect outside. So the one thing that I thought though was, you know, they just don't matter. You know, the prelim games just don't matter. You know, no one cares about prelim games. You know, you look at the stands at a typical tournament and just no one's there. No one's watching the prelim games because they don't matter. I mean, they matter, you know. If you do well, you can, you know, increase your odds of going into the finals or, you know, making the Ochos or, you know, whatever. But there's nothing on the line, you know. It's like, oh, you know, Damage and Red Legion played, and that was an excellent match. But, okay, you know, Damage lost and Red Legion won. Okay, well, they have three more prelim matches later in the day or, you know, the rest of the weekend. So it's like they don't really matter all that much. And I think that it might have reflected in, like, how it felt on screen. It might have reflected in, like, you know, the way fans interacted. It just didn't matter. That's kind of why I think we saw a lot of people at the first match to see what it was like. There were a lot of people to watch that first set with Damage playing Red Legion and, God, I don't even remember this. Who else was it? Tauntauns and Aftershock? I don't know. Somebody. So a lot of people were at that first set, but, you know, they kind of trickled out later. And I think it's just because they weren't really playing for anything. But it's difficult to make the teams or the games mean anything, because think about the tournament in the Pro Division, and there's really only one match or one game that means anything. It's the Pro Finals. So it would be difficult to put, like, you know, a bunch of matches in, like, some primetime spot, because there's only really kind of one match that means anything. None of the other matches have, like, that feeling of meaning something, because they kind of don't. So that might have been a bit of a hiccup with, stuff happening. I feel like these pictures are just rotating. They're not, though, are they? I don't know. I also put, I don't know if this helps paintball grow. I have no idea. You know, I don't know. But I do know it does provide new players, current pro players. It's something that's aspirational, right? You can aspire to going and playing in the stadium. It's another one of those things that, like, encourages new and up-and-coming players to go pro. Because I've talked about this, that, like, when I was, you know, coming up in speedball and stuff, I didn't really ever think about playing pro. But one of the things that I really thought was cool was all the neat opportunities they got. You know, being able to see the guys, you know, travel over to Europe and go to Asia and, you know, host clinics in Africa and, like, going all over the world and doing cool things was at least intriguing to me. And it's got to be cool to other people, right? Being able to get these just cool, I don't know, unique opportunities, I think does provide that something to look forward to for anybody aspiring to be pro, or maybe if you're not, but you do see this and you're like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then that encourages you to play paintball. I mean, that would obviously be paintball growing. But I think it definitely provides something for just us that are currently playing as well. I also put, something about being at the tournaments makes the players feel more professional. Because when you're just watching it on the webcast, it doesn't feel the same. But when you're really there, it does make it, it just feels more special, not just in the stadium, but even over in the parking lot on their normal, you know, tournament fields. It does feel just like a bigger deal, pro paintball does, in person than when you're not there, just because you can kind of see the teams getting ready and, like, preparing and all that stuff. So it just feels cool. The music was so loud in the stadium between points, it was ridiculous. So crazy. You know, I think about sports and I kind of want to be, like, in the stands watching the games, right? And I'm watching paintball, and then in between points, I can, like, talk to the people around me or something like that. But you really couldn't do that because the music was so goddamn loud. I had to, like, yell at the people sitting, like, right next to me. So the music was loud. I talked about the stadium lights are a lot brighter on the field. I kind of talked about that. It just looks better lit in person. And I also thought about what could we do. Would it be possible to have a big, like, OLED screen, like a big LED board, or a big, you know, actual full color screen at the current NXL tournaments? I think it'd be really neat to, right now they have the scoreboard on the opposite side of the spectator side, right above the 50 snake, like literally right where this picture is at. Like right here, if we were standing on the field normally at, like, a normal NXL tournament, you'd turn around and the scoreboard would be, like, right above my head if I was looking out to the field like this. But it's just a scoreboard. It just has time, you know, time and score and stuff on it. But it would be really cool if that scoreboard was also full color, possibly. And you could display the time and the score normally. But then right after that point ends, maybe we could cut to the Go Sports feed, and then you could see replays up on the screen. So it wouldn't necessarily help players in the real time, but it'd be really cool for the spectators, those people over on that Dorito side that are looking over toward the snake side, toward the pit side, if there was just some huge screen they could look at and, like, watch the replays, that would be really neat. And I don't think that that would be difficult for them. I think that they could probably just like plug it in and it'd just work. I don't think it would be like super difficult. Obviously, you'd have to rent that board and, you know, maybe it requires more electricity and there'd be some, maybe some things you have to set up. But they're kind of already have that big board there. So just replacing it with a different style would be kind of cool. That's it. Those are my more thoughts about Tampa. I have Tampa 2 here in the title of this. Did I go? I definitely went. The stream of paint that comes in as he dislodges it makes me think so. Okay, the moving makes me think no. Sure. I like the original field outside of the stadium better. It just seemed nicer being in the shade in the VIP. Yeah, that's fair. I also talked about it just looked... I don't know if it looked better, but it felt more natural, right? Because that's the environment that I'm so used to seeing stuff in that it just looked more like I expected it to. Looking at, like, you know, the outside field versus that in that stadium one. Yep, yep. Some brains. The TV spot midway. The TV spot midway got would do better for normies. Midway? Midway Paintball had a TV commercial? I assume we're talking about Midway Paintball here in Northern California, Vacaville. Vacaville, I think it is. The NFL audio levels cut through 100 times larger crowd. They barely had a section filled with the NXL. I don't even know where the audio was, the sound was coming from. It was so loud. It was too loud for an NFL game, though, too. I mean, if that music was on in an NFL game and the crowd was talking, it would be like, you could just sit there. You couldn't even, like, communicate with anyone around you. Because everyone would be screaming over the music. It was just loud. It was just really loud. Ooh, you're invited VIP. A lot closer to the players. Paint was actually spraying all over us in the VIP. It's for sure closer. I do really like the, like, angle, though. I like the looking down on the field part. Like, I like that being elevated. Huh. Some spot... Oh, they probably went out to Midway play... They probably went out to Midway and did, like, a local... We're here at Midway Paintball at 6 a.m. on a Tuesday. And they just, like, give them a walk around the field or something. I did one of those once. I was there helping the news. I also talked to the news about prostitutes one day at the paintball store. I forgot about that. So we, one of the paintball stores that we had was in the ghetto. It was not the greatest neighborhood. I mean, it was when the store opened, because the paintball store opened in 87. And then I worked there 20 years later, you know, and it wasn't the greatest place 20 years later, but there was a time once when, like, literally right in front of the paintball store, like, literally looking right out the front window, there were these police in a car parked in the parking spot normal, but they were in the parking spot, like, I'm looking out the store, right? Like, you're looking at me out the front of the store, and they were just sitting in this car, like, just looking out this back window for hours. They were doing, like, a prostitute sting or whatever and arresting streetwalkers. It was pretty funny. They were so obvious. It was like, man, you guys. Arresting these poor women and men that are destitute. Anyway. That's all my cool paintball topics. Yeah, that's all my cool paintball topics. I was going to say this. I was going to hit this and go, oh, you know what? If you play paintball, you probably need yourself some barrel covers. Look at all those barrel covers. There are a shitload of barrel covers on the Paintball Ruined My Life store. You can follow that link down there below. You can get barrel covers. There's headbands in there. T-shirts, sweatshirts, hats. All kinds of Paintball Ruined My Life merch. You can get a 3-pack of barrel covers for $15. I'm trying to... All these hooks are old. I'm trying to get them all on my finger. 3 packs of barrel covers, $15. Or $7 individually. There's so many. There's many options to choose from. As you can see right here. Lots of them. Paintball Ruined My Life barrel covers. More merch coming soon. Let's try to hang them all up back there. Oh no! Whoosh! Yeah, it would be cool. I was thinking about the VIP. It definitely need to bring the VIP higher. Yeah, I thought about that right when I was like kind of talking about like it's cool to be high. I was like, they could probably bring it up to be about this high. If it was like this high, just like the floor was like 4 feet off the ground or something like that, you would get a really good perspective. But then again, you know, it's probably, you know, they got to pay. It's all more money too. You know, I guarantee it's going to cost, you know, quite a bit more money to get that set up and just cost more to rent it because they got to rent everything. I'm pretty sure they rent everything. Yeah, they definitely rent everything. More merch. I don't know if we're going to call it merch necessarily, but we're definitely doing it, Chris. It's in the, not in the works, but will be very soon. Some trial run stuff. Nothing crazy. I just don't want to talk about it on here. Man. Oof. I sat next to Cole Roberts one game, Chad George, and Rainey another. It is kind of cool, for sure. Yeah, it's very weird, like, meeting those people too, you know, like meeting people that like not specifically them, because I've not spoken to any of those gentlemen. It is weird seeing people that like, you know, like meeting Ryan Moorhead in person. I'm like, Ryan Moorhead? It's just kind of crazy because like they're people that I've seen forever. You know, I've known about, I shouldn't say I've known Ryan Moorhead that long, but you know, I've been watching Ryan Moorhead play paintball for 20-something years. So, like, meeting people in real life, it's kind of like, I don't know. It's not that weird. It's just kind of like, oh, hey. I don't know. Bloody Brit. Yes, I was going to do a British accent. I won't do that. With the new limited paint rolls, how would you feel about uncapped semi coming back? The skill isn't just speed, but control of your speed. You can't shoot 25 balls a second for long. I don't really know, you know? I don't know. I think that it made sense back in the day, right? Because back in the day, it was like, it was stupid.
Like,
it was so dumb. Like, I mean, guys are shooting 20-something balls a second, and I don't know if that's good to shoot that fast. I also don't think that most people, like 99.9% of people, can't actually shoot 20 balls a second. Like, you're not actually doing it. It's like bounce or like there's a way that electronics like cache shots and like re-add them. There's like a bunch of weird shit that's happening. So it's like, I don't think that like people can actually shoot that fast. So it's like, if we could get like real semi somehow and guys were shooting like under 15, I think it would be better, but I don't want 20 plus balls a second. Yeah. But I really do understand, and I really would like there to be semi-auto. I just don't know how you do it. You know, it's so hard to police. I think that cheating with guns would not be as big of a problem as it was before. I mean, someone said mechanical uncapped. I'm all about that. I'm fine with that. I've also, yeah, thought that, like, you know, we're to the point where, like, I built that double trigger E-Mech, and that double trigger E-Mech, I mean, that thing rips. Like, you can shoot that mechanical double trigger gun just as fast as any electronic gun. So I'm even like, why don't we just make everything mechanical? I think that would be cool. You could get, like, real semi-auto with that. But I'm not a huge fan of the, like, huge, crazy rates of fire. I actually think it's better, slower rate of fire. 100%. I think it is. For sure. But I also really would like it to be semi-auto, if we could somehow figure that out. The problem with mechanical guns is it's like, the paintball industry is so reliant on, you know, equipment sales and that kind of stuff, that I think it might hamper sales for companies, and I don't know if that is necessarily a good thing. Yeah, you know, we just are, just how it is. Waffle says, I feel the pro portion of paintball is more of shooting where they're going to instead of where they are. But I'm also a mech player. My opinions. Something count. Not my opinions may not count. Okay. You're right for sure. 100%. Yeah. That's how it is. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. You're shooting some zone, or, you know, you're battling with the guy you're snap shooting, right? And then he gets you, tucks you in. So you roll off. Rolling off is like, If I come back into my bunker and then position a little bit and shoot on the outside, so that if he, like, moves, you know, for sure. Yeah, you're doing the same thing when you're laning or doing whatever. Which hopefully we see a little bit less of. Having maybe reducing the volume of paint people can carry. Maybe we do see a little bit less of guys just, you know, shooting a gap for 3 minutes. I think we will. I think that you're going to probably see that. But then the new rules have also changed quite a bit in how people are playing. Skiba Rigged makes a purpose-built drug double trigger frame for the E-Mech and 3M. I've never even heard of this person. Skiba Rigged. All right, I'll search it, I guess. A whole entire double trigger frame. Wait, a double trigger frame for the E-Mech. Okay. Do we have a website? No. People gotta build websites, you know? I don't like this whole Instagram. You gotta go on Instagram. Got like red stuff? I don't even know what I'm looking at here. Trigger housing for metal frames. Place the Imatami mag change. Huh. I don't know. I'd want to see it in a gun. Or see it. Huh. Damn, that looks cool. Oh, what's going on there? Looks like a USB thing and a hose. That's funny. I've seen that before. Like a bunch of crazy shit. Some angel eyes. Crazy stuff. Okay. April Fool's post. Okay, that's all. I didn't think that, but I'm like, what the hell is that? Yeah, I think we just saw that, Chris. It's kind of crazy. I guess it's all printed, unless he has like a machine. He can machine it all himself. You know what's crazy is, let's see if we can find this really fast. We already got that in there. While I was in Tampa, I spoke to a Gant from Tactics. We were talking about, I mean, all kinds of stuff, but primarily the barrel backs that he has made, the Delta Titanium S63 back. You know, this takes 6 hours to machine. So you put a piece of metal in, you put a piece of freaking titanium in the lathe or the machine, the Haas probably machine. Look how cool these look. Look at it. He like heated this one up to make it give it that cool titanium look. I wonder if I have any, I have some titanium stuff around here that's been heated up like that. It looks similar. But this takes 6 hours to make. 6 hours to make on the lathe or the machine. So you think about that, and it's like, you can only make like three of these a day, maximum. So it's like, Jesus, I mean, the machines cost 500 grand. So it's like, if you can only make three of these a day, you're gonna, that's gonna take a while to get your money back. So it's one of these reasons it's like so expensive, 325, just because they're so rare. They also made this, like, cool barrel tip. Maybe it's not out yet or something. I don't think it's out yet. They had it at the tournament. Maybe it's not out yet. They had a couple things at the event that actually weren't out yet, so it's possible. But, barrel backs are crazy. 6 freaking hours. This is nuts. Yeah, and of course HK makes a cheap knockoff. Yeah, they do. Definitely. It only took them like 2 weeks to make it, too. It was pretty impressive. You can knock stuff off real quick. Thick infill 3D printing. I don't even know what that is. Huh. I mean, it is kind of crazy what we can do with printing nowadays. Huh. Bloody Brit, you say it again. I watched the Smart Parts World Cup recently, and it just seemed faster. It probably was. I don't know if it was the layout, but the games feel so much slower these days. What I mainly think that is it's just that's what it was like back then. You know, I think that there can be little tweaks to the rules or the layout or, you know, rate of fire or, you know, we can do little things to tweak stuff. Just like they were going to 5 pods in the Pro Division, and they're also going toward this new system for, you know, deciding seeding for the playoff rounds, where before it was just dictated on point margin. So if you have like teams that are tied in the prelims, after all their matches, they have like 2 wins and 2 losses both. Before, they'd go and look at point margin. Now they're looking at to see how many mercy rule wins you have or how many mercy wins you have. And then after that, they're going to look at how many total points you've scored in wins. So they're really trying to speed up the game, I think, by reducing the volume of paint people can carry and also getting rid of the mercy or adding that mercy rule to determine that playoff bracket. So they're doing some things, but I really kind of think that like it was just how it was back then. You know, I remember when X-Ball started, right? I remember playing 10 man and then all of a sudden we were playing X-Ball, and back it was just weird. It was just like all we were supposed to do is play as fast as possible and score points. That's what it was like back then. Play as fast as possible when you're playing X-Ball, because that's just how you play it. And that's just what everybody did. And I think along the way, it just started slowing down a little bit. Maybe people's skill got better, just the style of play changed, whatever it was, but it definitely slowed down a little. And I think that those fast games, like at the Smart Parts World Championship or World Cup or whatever they called it, I think championship. That's just how it was. People just played fast then. It was just, you played fast. There was no rhyme or reason. It was just like the style of the time or whatever. That's my theory, at least. Aqua Cleaning says, I have the Atactics headband adjuster. Got the Twister one. Those are pretty cool. I also saw Twister things. Keeps the headband and from wearing out. Oh, that's true. It doesn't. That's true. You won't, like, mess it up from tying it. Yeah, those. I've got one of those around here. Right there. Hopefully we do something with them soon. I talked to them a little bit at the tournament about, you know, something. Working together on something, the Headband Hero. And I was like surprised how I liked these. I thought it was like, I was like, oh, that's kind of like gimmicky and weird. But I was, you actually use it? And I was like shocked how comfortable it was and how it actually like stays in place and like just actually makes sense. The Headband Hero. Yep. All right, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go to the park and go for another run. I ran already today. I'm going to go run again. I'm trying to run the Moab 240. No, I'm not doing that. It's a really far race and 240 mile race. A little long. I don't know, guys. Come back next week. We'll have something going on. Maybe I'll actually have a Lux Air by then. I tried to get one this week, but I was not able to. So hopefully a Lux Air fairly soon. I'm looking at other things. I kind of want to talk about like the hard point. Paintball Fits hard point, I think. 240. 240 is crazy. That's a long distance. It takes like 4 days. Love the Headband Hero, especially if you have a headband made of material that is not grippy. Oh, that's very true. True, true. I'm so used to, like, that's one of the reasons that's very true. Like, if you have any of the sublimated, like, polyester, like, non-organic fabrics, those suck for tying. That's one of the reasons I hated the polyester, like, headbands for so long. Huh. Good point. That's probably, like, the best used for it, huh? Because those things, you have to, like, double knot and stuff like that, and they really just kind of suck. Huh. All right, I'm out of here. Aqua Cleaning, thank you, guys. All right, we'll keep talking. Is Method still working on a bolt system for the CS3? Yeah, that I don't know. That I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I think it'd be cool. I don't know, honestly. We're trying to start a paintball field in Central Valley, Fresno, next month at my brother's ranch. Anyone in the valley, let's bring Fresno back. What? There used to be a field in Fresno, and I can't place my name on it. Or it was near Fresno or something like that. Ooh, greetings from Aruba. Shit. Greetings from the Central Valley of California, known as Maximum Paintball. Maximum sounds right. Well, I know, I can like see their logo in my head even. It's like blue or something like that. Damn Aruba. I want to go to Aruba. Tom, I mean, I don't know who I knew. I knew somebody that down there, can't remember if it was maximum. It's so long ago. I mean, it was like 15 years ago, so it's hard to tell. I mean, it may have been more. So it probably was more than 15. It was a long time ago. Maximum Paintball. I don't know if I've ever went there, though. They were like an angel dealer or angel something or other at one point, I think. Okay, I'm getting out of here. How do I close this window? What is wrong? Why don't I have like a X on this window? I don't know. What's going on here? I don't know. Gentlemen, make sure to give the live stream a like before you go. What's my favorite paintball gun? The Planet Eclipse E-Mech. Or the Planet Eclipse ETHA 3M. One of the two. I don't know. They're both amazing. How do you say that? I always see people like abbreviate enemy of the state. Does everyone just say enemy of the states, or do I, or enemy of the state, or do I say EOTS? I scored a blackout EOTS beanie, headband, and strap with a black and white at the tournament. I imagine I walked by, man, I went through the vendor thing four separate times, and enemy of the state was always cracking. I didn't really stop, though. I kept walking. I gotta keep walking. It was always busy. Yeah, them and probably Paintball Retro were the two most popular. Okay. Gentlemen, enjoy the rest of the night. Come back Monday. We'll do something. For any of you channel members out there, Thursday, 4 p.m. will be a members-only live stream. Prepare for that. In the meantime, enjoy something. Stop.